Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 717.
Hey. A palindrome.
Disenchanted.
Thank you. That's what I've had.
That's yes. What I hear.
That's what Joe keeps calling it.
We're here in real life.
Yeah.
And I'm almost done editing last week's episode. They let me come up for air to do another one, and then I have to get right back to editing.
We brought Kevin up from the salt mines.
Yes, we make him sleep under the stairs like Harry Potter. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and leave us a review and also follow us so you never miss an episode. I was told by a little birdie that's not Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That we have a new review.
We do. Okay. This one came in last Sunday, actually. So I guess it came in after we recorded.
Well, there's also a lag time between it posts and when they hit send and when you see it.
I gotcha.
All the little elves at Santa's workshop have yeah. to go over all of it.
They're busy right now, man.
I know.
I don't know why there's a delay on the reviews on Apple Podcasts, because they will let you say anything.
Remember that one that we got pulled?
Yeah. I've had a couple pulled over the years. Like on Clip Out, I've had people that don't like our podcast, mainly because they host their own Peloton podcast that sound like the audio equivalent of paint drying.
Uh-huh.
But
ASMR is very popular.
Yeah, but they called Crystal fat.
Oh,
and I was just like, and I report, and they took it down. But okay. I'm like, but so why is there a delay? Because there's clearly you're not vetting.
Yeah,
things,
right, right.
You know,
no, what was that? Oh, there was like a what did they call us? It was for our Rambo.
They
last...
meant pretty hot and tempting, Tom. That's a thing the young
yeah,
kids
right,
pretty
right.
hot and tempting. It's a different
oh,
kind of
P-H-A-T.
I see. Well, he didn't spell it with a P.
Well, they're dumb, too. So
oh,
that's
okay.
I think it was one of our Rambo.
Yeah, there was people mad because we were like, he's only killing Mexicans. Like, why is he only killing
all
Mexicans?
All of the bad guys in this movie
and
are Mexicans.
I remember they were like, I loved the show up until that was the turning point.
Right. I thought they hated Mexicans as much as I did.
Yeah, right.
This is disconcerting.
I don't know what led you to believe that? But
right.
Anyway, back to this review, which I got to tell you, once I read it, that last conversation is not going to go over well.
Right.
Oh.
This is from Anime Girl 225.
Okay.
It's called White Men Podcast. It's a 5-star review.
Redundant, but go on.
Is that a remake of White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah.
Oh, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I dislike white men telling me about things, I must say that out of all the white men podcasts, this one is my favorite.
Yes.
I have only been listening to them for a few months.
Let me mansplain to you why that is. Here's why you like us, little girl.
Jeez.
I've only been listening to them for a few months and have been working through all of their old ones. It definitely has gotten better over the years. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, if you go back far enough, you're going to get mad at us.
Without question.
I probably assure you.
It'll be me. It's fine.
I'll tell you what. I'm just going to say editing last week's podcast and bringing up tragedies on movie sets and other actors who have passed away timely really got me thinking.
I know.
Really got me thinking.
I was like, if we ever became famous, we would get canceled so fast. So
we would get famous and then canceled.
And then canceled.
Immediately.
Maybe it's happened. Yeah. We got famous, but we were canceled so quickly we never found out.
You know that RIPD episode?
Yeah.
That was it.
That was the one.
That was the one. We made 17,000, it. 17,000. Like, nope.
Episode 5, we were about to really take off. Yeah. And they listened to 1 through 4 and we were done. Like,
hard pass.
So yeah, don't go, every listener that we have every week, don't go back and download every single episode. We would hate for you to download 700 episodes per person. That would really throw things off.
Yeah, please
don't do that. Please,
whatever you do.
But that was a very nice review.
It was great.
I totally get why she feels that way.
Yes.
Because
that's what it is.
Yeah. Especially in this field. Yes. Right? Like, yes. But there's more things. I would love to know what made her start listening. If she's just like, 3 white guys talking about movies, like, what made her dive in?
Let's do this. Anime Girl 225.
Yeah.
If you're still listening, like, maybe, reach out on the Facebook page or whatever, and let us know. Yeah. Maybe Twitter, if that still exists, by the time this episode goes up. Let us know, like, how did you find the show?
Yeah. And even beyond why you found it, what made you listen?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if I understand
totally
why you were like, 3 white guys. That just sounds. But it's like, but then what made you die? Is it just like when you get a sore tooth and you can't stop playing with it? Like,
I don't know.
I'm just.
Let's just see how far their misogyny goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it never happens. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
We try not to.
I mean, sometimes I say it just to be silly.
Correct.
Because it's so over the top ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. It's almost like, I feel like now with the video, people will be able to tell more.
The look on our face.
Correct.
Yeah. Joe's OnlyFans subscribers have gone way up.
Yeah, skyrocketed.
It's in the tens. It's
easily. Yes. Point fives.
Yeah.
So, and also, what is your favorite anime?
Also a good question.
Yeah, let us know.
I know nothing about anime.
Yeah, recommend some because I don't really know it. I mean, I know there was Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, the basic ones that everybody knows.
Akira
for sure. Right, what are the deep cuts that would be?
Speed Racer.
Oh, yeah.
That you would
introduce. The Guyver. That was mine. That was my intro.
Like, if we want to be more.
Battle of the Planets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
Culture us. Tell us what is the stuff to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's a kid in this house that could probably tell us.
Yeah. My stepdaughter could tell you for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at you dumbasses.
Yeah. Adults. You're the worst.
We are the worst.
I remember when she was like 13, she really went through a phase about like how dumb adults are.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and so finally one day I was like, are you worried? She's like, about what? I'm like, well, I mean, at some point you're going to be an adult. Like, at what point do you think you'll get this fucking stupid? Like, it's going to happen, right? Like, if that's what you think of adults, like,
if the end game
you're going to be one. So, like, do you think at 18 somebody just puts an ice pick to your head, or they take you up to a room like McMurtry and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
All of a sudden you come back.
Yeah, and you just come back, and then, like, you then what?
Suffocate me with a pillow.
Your girlfriend will suffocate you with a pillow just out of compassion. So I don't know. But your day's coming. You're getting dumber every day, girl. Every day.
That Simpsons episode where, was it that Flanders was the, like, ruler of the world or whatever, and he was lobotomizing people?
Oh, yeah, the Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah. And Moe's, like, they just...
He put me in a little jar. He calls it. What does he name it? He named it something. I can't remember what he named. Yeah.
So, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you'll share an episode. So
there's
here.
A social media that will never go anywhere. The owner doesn't make any dumb decisions.
Correct.
So we'll always be there
it
forever.
Is, I mean, you're not wrong though. Like, he does make about the platform at least.
Yeah.
You know, like,
have you heard of the metaverse? Are you familiar with it?
I mean, I know. I know what it
is. Are you familiar with how much money he's spent in the last year?
Does it even exist? Could I go do it if I wanted to? I hear all the talk about it.
I see the logo.
I never see anything, weirdly enough, in my Facebook feed that's like...
It's all NASCAR.
Go to the metaverse.
It's all NASCAR. And it is. There's no overlap.
Maybe this will be a deleted scene. I made the mistake of watching a NASCAR video because I just couldn't tell what was going on. And so now I get nothing but NASCAR videos in my feed. That's it's like we did... We used to... For a while, we were doing these... late night Mexican concerts at the arena.
Okay.
And I would research them to put the information on our website. And then for like 6 weeks, my YouTube pre-roll was entirely in Spanish.
Oh, sure.
I was like, oh, you just wasted 0.3 cents.
Because I can't understand that.
I don't know. Yeah. And if I could, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
It's just not my jam. But sure, like, sure. You know, but I'm just like, well, this is a complete waste.
Well, so this past year, Meta, which is the parent company of Facebook that they changed the name to, they've spent $15 billion on the metaverse. And I don't have the figure in front of me, but it's going to be a small number. They've either brought in revenue of either 50 or 500 million from their $15 billion in spending, and they just laid off a bunch of people because spending.
Well, maybe they're go get a job at Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Or Instagram. No, wait.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're all in. Like Meta, if this metaverse thing doesn't work out,
it sounds
their
like
value has dropped something like 80%.
It just sounds like a really bad comic book crossover.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Here comes the metaverse.
Into the metaverse.
You should see the go look at the video. I mean, in 10 years, people could be listening back to this episode, laughing at us. Maybe it
like
would
be like when Joe said Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be the first flop
exactly.
from Marvel.
Yeah. So
and that Man of Steel was going to work.
But go look at the videos.
Well, you said it after you saw Man of Steel. That's the problem.
I screwed
there.
That up.
Yeah, like you were all in.
But go look at the videos, and I'll try to find you a clip, Tom, of what the metaverse looks like and what they're spending $15 billion
on.
Golly. And had to lay off 11,000 people or whatever. And,
it looks
like
a Dire Straits video.
It looks like, did you ever play the old Nintendo?
No.
Well, the Nintendo Wii, everyone had it with
bowling
and all that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Amiibos, you made your little Mii character. Sorry, Miis.
Yeah.
What it looks like?
Doesn't look much better than that. And that was 10 years ago.
It's like a bunch of Snapchat icons walking around.
It is. Literally, you can make your avatar looks like a little cartoony.
So you're saying that Ready Player One didn't get it right?
At least
not yet.
I already look like a cartoon from the early 2000s. I don't need someone to make another one.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's something. So, I mean, we'll see if any of this social media stuff's around this form in a few years.
It'll be something else.
Yeah. It's all Web3, man.
Until Tom's like, guess what? Bringing back MySpace.
Oh, yeah. That Tom.
That Tom.
Yeah,
now or, me. No, or like, this Tom. Okay, either one.
It's probably about enough where I could afford it.
Probably.
So people who were kind enough to share an episode this week, Librarian Cynthia, Chris Sanders, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Travis Tewitt, Ralph Triple, Chris Magicman, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Chris Falls, Dissect That Film, Ken Holzhauser, Vertigay314, Colby Mack, Mike and Oscar, Ronnie Castle, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Invasion of the Remake, In Session Film, Matt Naglia, Ryan Terry, Feelin' Film. And just to irritate Brad Hyen, I'm going to say Tom O'Keefe. I shared the episode, and I was only on for 3/4 of it.
That's fair.
Oh.
So we'll count it. We'll
giving
count it.
Myself
yeah.
credit.
I mean,
just
I
say,
thought
your, just you say could, your first name.
Like Toe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, whatever 1/4 of.
Yeah, that's math.
Yeah.
Oh,
it sucks.
That's
the
worst.
So it's just a technicality. So if you leave early, that's interesting to know.
Yeah. So if Blake had shared.
You made the joke before I did.
Yeah. So what do I talk about here? We have a Patreon, patreon.com/theclipout.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. I'm half asleep.
Oh, boy.
Well, you can go there, too. patreon.com/realspoilers. I'm surprised I don't do that more often than I do. Where for $5 a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content. And we like you extra.
That's right.
There's a cool episode coming up for the highly demanded return of the box office report.
Yeah.
We have a super sized 2.5 hour long episode on the 2022 box office.
Is that really
year.
How long that was?
We talked for 2.5 hours.
It was so much fun. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, because I was like, I have to finish editing this Black Panther podcast.
We don't really edit the Patreon.
You just
not as hardcore as the main show.
Right.
You just pull out the comments when you go full Kanye.
I've never gone full Kanye.
Never go full Kanye.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, but like Kanye, you are not worth $1 billion.
I am not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I never
all
was.
Since those,
he did.
Guardians of the Galaxy comments.
I wasn't even on the art. Well, maybe that was the problem.
What's that?
I wasn't on the RIPD episode.
Ah.
There it is. Figured it out.
Wasn't that the second episode?
That was the fifth, I thought. Oh, okay.
Did you miss the second one?
No, I don't know.
It was Lone Ranger, then it was Two Guns the second episode.
I definitely did Two Guns.
It was early on.
And Lone
sure.
Ranger I did. Man yeah. of Steel I did.
And then there's just, yeah, oh, I don't even know. I mean, if you guys, you got to think, 717 episodes.
Yeah,
ago.
That was 2013.
715 episodes. I mean, that's a lot of recording.
That's not even the
hours.
Patreon.
We should add up the hours. How much, and not editing or anything, but just not seeing the movies.
Right.
How much have we spent talking?
I don't want to see that. Yeah. I really don't.
And then put it into years, like.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Like, can someone go back and listen to a year of us talking straight without stopping? Like, I want to know what the.
I got to tell you, there are times when I look, when you know, on video games, when it says you've played this for X amount of hours, and I see that number, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Oh, that's right. A lot of hours.
You should put that on your tombstone.
I know. So, he played WWE Superstars 2K18 for 377
hours. It's just WWE 2K whatever. There's no superstars
so
in the
your,
title.
Your kids can go and look at your tombstone and be like, he missed like 8 of my soccer games.
Playing this stupid game.
Yeah. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig into Dischanted.
Dischanted. This is, I got to tell you, like, I think I remember really enjoying the original
the
one.
The first one is great.
It's fantastic.
It's a lot of fun.
It is
really well done.
Delightful.
And
just
it's a great premise.
Yeah. I think it's a really good premise.
I refuse to believe it was 15 years ago.
I know, right?
I looked at
is that. Is that right?
Yeah, 15. 2007.
I mean, because I always think about that movie. I loved it. I've always talked about it, rewatched every once in a while. I could not believe when I saw 2007. That just mind-boggled. I would have thought it was 10 years ago. You know, yeah.
Man.
And this movie might have worked if it was 8 years ago.
See, I think overall I enjoyed this movie. I like that this is...
It was fine.
It was okay.
But it does not even come close to the original.
No.
Agreed.
I would agree with that. And I wonder if that's because, I mean...
They waited too long.
They did wait
first
too
off,
long.
First off, this—I mean—they try to play games with the time by saying it's been 10 years when we know it's been 15.
Right?
Do they say it's been 10?
Well, according to Wikipedia, it says 10 years after the events of the film. Because so
on
assuming
IMDb,
I missed something.
On IMDb, I think they even said 15 because that's what got me wondering.
Yeah. Huh?
But it's like
IMDb says 15 years after her happily ever after, Giselle questions her happiness.
Okay, Wikipedia says 10, so I just assumed I missed a title card. Or
I think
something.
It's supposed to be 15, but
I didn't know if they ever actually declared.
They might not,
but it can't be 15 because
that kid's not old enough.
The kid wouldn't be in high school. The kid would be
okay,
and it's the same kid from the first one, right?
Yeah.
It's
no,
oh,
it's not the same kid.
Oh, I thought they had the same girl back.
No,
okay,
the girl has a cameo.
Oh, really?
Oh, who is she?
She's one of the townspeople. She's the townsperson that reminds her that there's a festival coming up.
Okay.
Oh, no kidding. I wonder why that
No,
was.
They
That's
did a good
weird.
Job casting the new one. She looks like a grown-up version of her.
Yeah, Katie had thought that, oh, she's got the same girl. Like, I didn't look it up because she said that, and I'm like, it don't look
Yeah,
same.
No, it's definitely a different girl. Okay. And so, but yeah, she'd be, I mean, that girl's 24.
Right.
So, like, even if you play a little game, like, the best you're going to get her to is be 20 or 22.
Sure, sure.
You know? And so, I mean, because if you think about it, this girl's supposed to be, what, a junior in high school?
So, she's in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely not a freshman. She's not a senior.
So, she's 16 or 17, which would have made her one or two in the first movie if it had been 15
And that was years. That was Dempsey's daughter, right? Like, that is
the
her
character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, my mother passed away.
That's, okay.
Yeah.
When she said, spoilers, at the end of this movie, when she says, I want my mom back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
You just bring back a zombie mom.
Oh,
like, what are you doing?
You're be careful. Saying, yeah. If you know how these, you know, contracts and things work with magic, it's always like
you brought back the wrong mom.
But we all know from Aladdin, there's no bringing back the dead. There's
that's
no,
also true.
There's no
that's,
wishing
yeah.
for more wishes.
Yeah.
I did think it was really cute. Did you guys catch all the
there's a
Easter
lot.
Eggs?
Yeah.
There's a lot
like,
in there.
Because the stall in the village was like sugar dates, pistachios. That's like what the genie says at the beginning of Aladdin. Or whatever. Like, there's just lots of little hidden Easter eggs from Disney movies, from outfits to the characters. I mean, it's cool how they planted little, like, the Disney movies, the princesses.
Elsa.
Elsa is a very big.
They let her sing this time.
They did, which I thought was like, has there ever been somebody that got two bites at the Disney apple as two different, like, cartoon characters?
I mean, if you can count this as a little cartoon character. Isn't there? They've been in different movies? Oh, man, I'm going to get my Disney card revoked. I'm pretty sure that one of those early princesses played another princess.
Okay.
Or at least in some capacity.
Interesting.
There's been crossover
I never
before.
Heard the original voice of Winnie the Pooh pop up in other
Well, for sure.
Other Disney things.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But he does Alan Tudyk.
Baloo the bear and the bear from Robin Hood. I mean, that's the same.
And Alan Tudyk is in everything at this point. He's all over the place.
Well, yeah, and Alan Tudyk is literally just doing the King Candy from Wreck-It Ralph, which is an Edwin impersonation.
That's right, yeah.
Just that. I thought that was kind of weird. It's like, oh, Alan Tudyk.
But he's
like,
also doing, I mean, it's the Duke of Wesselton. Like, it's the same voice from Frozen. He's the Duke of Wesselton.
I mean, it's similar, but like that, he's doing the Edwin. It's closer to the Edwin King impersonation, Candy, which is what King Candy is doing. So,
but no, there is, like, you've got the three like fairy godmothers from Snow White are in this. Not Snow White, is that right? Sleeping Beauty are in this as well.
Like, the green... Cinderella, the evil stepsisters, they're dressed like
them. The three gals that like end up taking care of the baby are the same three gals from Snow White.
Oh,
or from Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, the fairies that take care of, right.
Yeah.
So they do a clever job of planting and all these things. But did you like the sisters when they're going to the party are dressed in the exact same outfits as Drizella and
I was like, that's fun. Like you can play with that, you've got the whole Disneyverse.
And they're not bringing in with Wreck-It Ralph and the princesses, that was amazing with the actual princesses. But in this one, they're not supposed to be those characters. They're more just Easter eggs of like being homage to things.
Yeah.
But it's clever the way they work them in. It was fun. That made this movie more fun, I think, trying to spot all the little Easter eggs. I mean, I love the first one. And this one I don't know if it was like this was filmed during COVID and it's just more contained or something. But I think the idea of Giselle going bad, like turning evil, is a really interesting
idea.
I
thought the premise was great, which makes this movie very frustrating. The idea of, you know, she's going to wish that her new town in suburbia, that was a fairy tale world.
WandaVisioned it.
Yeah, but I love the idea of, oh, if she lives in a fairy tale world, now she's the wicked stepmother. Like,
she didn't say I want the fairy tale to be happy for me. It's
right.
Like, you're the...
When the stepdaughter says, you're just my stepmother. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Like, I see
what
we're doing.
It was really clever, but I just don't think the writing was good enough.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the end of the movie and I go, well, Alan Menken must not have done these songs because they're not
good.
And it's like, but he did. And I'm like...
I wonder, do you think these could have been like leftover? I guess they can't because it's their story centric. Right,
but
like
you can repurpose material.
Yeah, he could have had
these. True.
But I mean, like, if the clearly, because it plays in the title sequence and everything, that Love Power song is supposed to be the big song, and it's like, nope, it wasn't a great song.
Yeah.
I mean, Love Power over and over again. That just
she seemed kind of checked out to me. Like, she seemed Amy Adams.
I thought she was good. I liked the way she would pivot.
The
evil stepmother.
I thought she played the evil stepmother really well.
Yeah.
I thought it was more interesting to watch her go bad because Giselle is such a sweet, perfect, innocent character. And normally, I think if you fall in love with that character, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to see her go bad because she's so great. But I think it was really interesting.
I think it helped, too, that she knew she was going bad and she's fighting against it.
Yeah.
So you just got flashes of it. Like, you didn't get her bad the whole movie. And so I think that helps with that.
Sure.
But I think it still comes back to it's been too long.
Yeah.
And so a lot of her jokes revolve around not really understanding the way human world works.
Yeah,
you've been here for 15 years and you can't figure out sarcasm.
I mean, even being gracious, she's been there for a decade.
Right.
Right? Like, within the concept of the film.
Sure.
And
you can't be that oblivious to the way the human world works.
I mean, at some point, she just seems like she's mentally challenged. Like, right? Like, you don't understand how the world
how
works.
How sarcasm works.
And you've been living in it for 10 years.
I thought the same thing. When she said, oh, that's sarcasm. She's still trying to figure it out after 10 or so years.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it was funny when she was fish out of water and just got there. But even a year later, you're still getting accustomed to it. But you can't have her go for a decade or 12 years or whatever.
I got to tell you, Brendan Fraser adapted to life in California for Encino Man real quick.
Yeah, it you're right. The fish out of water thing doesn't work when you've been there that long. It just doesn't. And
I think if you take that part out of it, and I agree with you, because I do. I mean, you're there. She's there too long. Right.
Yeah.
And she's living in New York. Are you telling me that, like,
right,
maybe the most cynical city probably in the United States where you're just, you know, are you telling me that she hasn't adopted some of that like New York mentality? And not if we have listeners in New York, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Well, it's a different, it's the hustle. It's
yeah,
quicker.
Right.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is, and I'm torn on this because, again, I think it's an interesting idea. I think the premise of the story is really
interesting. The
premise
is really good. They just didn't play with it as well as they did with the premise of the first
one. Yeah. Right. But the other thing is, too, I think the first one ended perfectly, which begs the question of these sequels that pop up 15 years later.
Yeah.
Do you really want them? Because the end of the movie is happily ever after. The whole movie is a fairy tale with a princess who finds her prince, who's not the prince that you'd expect it would be, and they live happily ever after. And then this movie starts, life sucks in the real world, and it's depressing, and they're like, looks like they're on the verge of divorce. And like, that is a more realistic, but like, we're not coming to Enchanted for that.
Right.
We want the happily ever after. So when they destroy the ending of the first movie by like the happily ever after to make it realistic, it's like, I didn't come to this movie for realism.
Well, and that's the problem with sequels that you don't anticipate, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
As much as people complain about Marvel being all middle,
sure,
and it's a fair complaint, mm-hmm. but oftentimes when you make these sequels, you end up having to undo what you did in the first
one. How do you...
So you have conflict. And so then it just feels like, what do we hear? Like, the one that always sticks out for me, and it's not a movie that I think most people even know exists, let alone would have seen, but Arthur 2.
I've never seen it.
Right?
I didn't even know there was an Arthur
2. Is he like, at the beginning or at the end of the first movie, it like resolves?
Right.
He shouldn't.
Is
have
it the same guy?
He gets the girl. Yeah, it's still Dudley Moore. Still Liza Minnelli. Yeah. And
still Russell Brand.
Yeah. They even get John Gielgud for a ghost cameo.
Okay. Right?
But they have to completely undo what happens at the end of the first one. At the end of the first one, spoilers for a romantic comedy from 40 years ago. Like, he gets the girl he wants. They give him, the family decides to not disinherit him, and he's stopped drinking. And in the second one, they immediately come up with some plot device to where all his money's taken away, and he starts drinking again. And then she gets mad at him and leaves. And so, like, they completely undo everything in the first one, so they still have conflict.
Right. Couldn't you just do the further adventures of Arthur?
But what's the conflict, right? Like, now he's... The movie ended with he got the girl, the working class girl that his family didn't want him to have, and they decide to give him all the money.
The wedding.
Okay,
wedding is your conflict.
But then it's just them fighting about a wedding.
But
like,
they're trying to recapture the magic.
Sure,
universe, which
yeah.
means he has to be a drunk with no money.
Right.
Or like, you know, I get it. Like, I get from a... business standpoint, they're trying to make a sequel to these successful movies, and they do all this stuff. But from a fan's perspective, from someone who loved the first one,
and like that's what
just like,
that's what the Toy Story movies are so great about, right? Like,
true,
they find a way to tell you there it is, the continuing adventures, right? They find a way to tell you a new story,
right,
with these same characters,
because the kids are growing up. So the toys, it's their adventures through the kid growing up, aging out, another kid,
right?
And then eventually, like, what purpose do we have when our kids grow up?
Is it three where Andy finally gets rid of them? Or is it four?
It's three.
Three, because then, they're
already
with body.
Because he gives the box to the girl?
He gives the box to the girl at the end of three. And
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Bonnie, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
But anyway.
I don't disagree with you about any of that. And to the point of, like, trying to, I mean, we've seen it, in the last month, right? Hocus Pocus 2. This new Christmas story.
Hocus Pocus 2 is pretty bad. Do you guys watch that?
I never saw the first one, so I really wasn't going to race out and watch the second one.
But I mean,
race to your TV.
I know people love, I mean, that's another one of the nostalgia.
That's a nostalgia one for
Hocus
sure. My sister loves that movie.
Goonies for girls.
Totally.
Right? Like, it's not good, but you saw it at the right age, and so you love it.
Goonies is
but
good.
Even if you love the first.
You saw it at the right age.
But even if you love the first Hocus Pocus, it's unfortunate. The second one just is.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the Christmas Story thing. Going back, I mean, when did Christmas Story come out?
The original Christmas Story?
Yeah.
1983.
Okay. 2022, and we get like a legit.
Yeah.
Sequel, right? Because there is a second Christmas Story,
so,
but it's not.
That's based on a book called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Yeah.
And it's a collection of short stories that were originally published in Playboy.
Hey now. That's where Stephen King published stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, Playboy back in the day was a very real magazine where you could see. but like, so they did real things. So they did long form interviews, and I mean, interviews that would go on for 20, 30 pages.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really trying to be like, we're not just boobs, but.
Can I tell you that I still remember what those smell like? Like yeah. the magazines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The magazines. Okay.
Boobs, too. I know what those smell like. Yeah.
Well, you know what two of them smell
that's
like.
That's true. Well, yeah. I've had more than two.
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
It better be. The answer better be yes.
But like the they would put like cologne in those.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I still remember the smell of that cologne. Yeah.
But so there's been, oh, man, 7 or 8 movies based on that.
Short stories from Playboy?
That book.
Oh.
So,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, PBS made a whole bunch of them. And, like, Matt Dillon was in one. Like, they made a bunch, but they weren't all Christmas-related, right? Like, what A Christmas Story did was just pull out the Christmas story.
Is Vacation? Or was there one about a them going on vacation?
There's Our Summer Vacation with, I think, Kieran Culkin.
Okay.
And Charles Grodin.
Okay. Yeah, I know that.
It's called My Summer Vacation. Okay. And then it's also... It was also released on video under a different name.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called. My Summer Story. Maybe that's what it's called.
I hate that when they change the names and then you're confused about, like, what isn't this called? Like, they release in theaters under one. They change the name on home video.
It was like that soccer movie.
Which one was that?
The one about, like, the greatest game ever played was the original title. And then when it went to video, it was called, like, The Miracle.
Oh, okay.
You're like, wait a minute.
Live, Die, Repeat?
Yes, exactly right. That's a good
but
one.
But so, like, they've made a bunch. Yeah. But then there was an actual Christmas Story 2, which we reviewed
on
the show.
We did.
And Daniel Stern is the dad.
That's right. It's awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It goes in that
one. Real bad.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, there's a lot of Gene Shepard, Ralphie. Yeah.
Well, Ralphie's coming back, baby.
I'm excited to see it. We'll have to. I think we should cover that one.
What a cool career! Like that guy's had an interesting career as like a child
is he a
actor.
Director?
He was Vince Vaughn's buddy.
He's a producer. Vince Vaughn and him became friends.
And then he got
working together.
He did some Marvel stuff. I think he produced.
I think
some?
He's like an executive producer on the first Iron Man. Or
yeah.
Something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then
it's weird. It doesn't seem to be in the. I don't think it's in the credits, but it's on its IMDb, or maybe it's the other way around.
But then he's in Spider-Man 2. Like he's in the No Way Home. Like he's one of Mysterio's like buddies.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the producers on Elf, right?
Yeah.
And he's in it.
Yeah.
He's got a cameo in Elf.
I think he did a lot of those like Laugh Pack movies. Like he did, but he was like a buddy of Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
And he would produce all of his stuff.
Yeah.
So this one is like we've said, we're 10 or 15 years post Enchanted, and life isn't as easy as it was for Giselle and McDreamy.
It's a clever title, Disenchanted.
I
didn't know it was about this. I didn't look up anything about it. And I'm like,
should have called it. This is the second one. They should have called it Dose Enchanted.
Oh.
Huh?
I mean, it couldn't have been any worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Disney Plus is abbreviated D Plus for a reason sometimes.
That's true. That's fair.
No, this isn't a D movie.
No. But
it's not a good movie.
It is. I do briefly want to touch on like that. The Netflix model that Disney has now figured out.
Right.
And it's like...
Which is keep raising your rates.
That's exactly what it is. But like producing your own content.
Oh.
And where Netflix has to produce like original stuff, right? Because they don't have, you know, the rights to Enchanted.
Well, right. Disney has the IP.
Disney can be like, I'm going to go make a new Marvel movie.
Right.
But we're going to put it on Disney+.
Disney's got IP that people have nostalgia for.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And Netflix
has
trying
to...
trying with... Extraction, you know, they're trying to build up old guard, whatever the Charlie, you know, they're making sequels to these different action movies and they're trying to make their Red Notice 2 or whatever.
They're never going to get it.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I think because people consume media in different ways, right? We have nostalgia for a lot of these movies because we didn't have as many options.
Sure.
We would watch them over and over again.
True.
Christmas Story.
24 hours straight.
Christmas Story made like $4 in the theater.
That's a good point when you talk about the theatrical runs of movies that you'd see all summer and then play on TV. And you were forced to watch the same
stuff. It's like I remember It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Sure.
Falls into the public domain, gets played on TV all the time. And so I remember it being on TV all the time when I was 15, 16, right? And there weren't as many things to watch. And so I would be like, oh, I'll watch It's a Wonderful Life again because it was always
especially on. At Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
Grinch. Love the Grinch.
But like in today's world, if I was 17, I'd be like, well, I saw it this year. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go pick from one of these other hundreds of Christmas options.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to go to Hulu.
And so, like, I don't think people spend the same time with the material to order to develop that sense of nostalgia. You watch Extraction, it's fine, and you go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're just constantly... Like you're like a shark. You have to constantly be moving.
It
or
needs
you die.
To be something special.
Yeah.
For it to stick. And sure. Like,
well, especially as I get older, this is kind of what I was talking about last week with Black
you're
Panther.
Closer to death, you don't have time to rewatch something.
But, right? but there's a million other things out, and so it's like if a movie isn't just extraordinary,
yeah, right, yeah.
Like for me to choose to watch the same movie again, where I know a lot of people, it's like comforting and they like to know what's going to happen, and you know they enjoyed it, so they watch it again. But for me, especially as a film critic and movie buff that wants to get through this stuff, I think of the thousands of other movies I've never seen.
Sure.
And it's really hard for me to work in on the time, not with the kids and not with Katie and not doing stuff for this show and all that, to like, oh, let me put on the same movie I've seen. Like, I just don't want to do that.
As much as I love Christmas movies, I hardly ever end up watching them at Christmas time because we've got so many screeners to
watch that
we have to watch for critic purposes.
There's like four that's in the rotation that's usually every year.
Yeah.
Which ones are they?
Home Alone, Christmas Vacation. Oh,
Die Hard.
Die Hard. That's, well, not, unfortunately, that's all year round.
Okay.
I'll watch Die Hard all year.
Yeah.
Some version of the Grinch, whether it's the Jim Carrey, the cartoon, or the Benedict Cumberbatch one, some version
of the
Grinch.
New one's pretty good.
I like the Benedict Cumberbatch.
Produced or directed by Scott Mosier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I enjoyed that one. And then it's kind of a hodgepodge, but yeah. I guess three.
I watch the Rankin Bass stuff.
Oh, that pops up every once in a while.
But those aren't movies.
That's true. They were TV shows.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm saying we're talking about movies. I don't feel like that counts in the same way. It's not, and it's shorter.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think those are kind of the ones that are in constant rotation every, A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Usually. Yeah. Anyway, back to this. So life isn't as easy. The daughter has grown up and now she's kind of the cynical teenager.
But she's still close with Giselle because like she calls her mom, which
she
I
does
was
call
surprised
her mom.
By. I'm like, wow. So they are close and they have a good relationship.
I had asked Leanne, I was like, is that her mom? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, I can't remember. It was so long ago since I've seen that other one.
But they plant that in there and clearly so they can take it away later. So you see how jarring it is. Like when she says stepmom, that's a dagger.
Like,
but, you know, they've grown close over these past years.
10 to 15.
I was going to say, I'm like, yeah, these years.
And they've decided that maybe it's time to leave the city. And
she's trying to save their marriage is what she's trying
to
do.
Did you think that? Because I didn't
when
pick up
on that.
When
you saw them like
all.
Being tired and sleeping.
They've got a newborn.
That's life.
They've got a, you know, like
well,
that's.
They're trying to save the marriage.
Maybe. I just feel like that they. Okay. I don't disagree.
They're not
but,
butting heads, but it looks like the beginning of them becoming distant. Yeah. I'm not saying they're like yelling at each other.
Distant chanted.
There we go.
They're not. This isn't Marriage Story, but.
oh my God. Sign me up for
that
movie.
But they're losing time with each other, which is going to grow you distant. And I, Giselle, I think.
But you had 10 years without a baby. So you had a good run.
Yeah.
Like that's the other thing.
Game
it's
over,
like,
bro.
It's like. The fact that they would have a baby 10 years in, like that, I mean,
yeah.
I know we're not supposed to critique other people's family planning choices, but they're fictional characters, so I'm going to do it. It's kind of weird, right?
It's
like,
yeah.
Like 10 years later?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, that just...
That's a long time.
That's a long time for Patrick Dempsey, who's pushing 60, to wait.
I know, I just keep thinking, like, by the time the... Kids are all out of the house.
By the time that kid is out of the house, he's going to be like in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's why, like, when they talk about him, like, you're just going to ride the train
for the rest
of your
life.
And I'm like, they're not lying. Like, if you're planning on working for the next, like, he's getting close to retirement age. He's got to have money from being this hotshot lawyer. Like,
he was three weeks away from retirement.
Yeah, he was born in 66. Doesn't mean the character's the exact same.
No,
sure.
but you presume that he's
roughly the age he is, unless you're told otherwise.
Right.
So yeah.
That's
I was
of,
just thinking,
a lot
like,
of train riding.
Maybe he's retiring soon, not, oh, you're going to be doing this the next 15
no,
or 20
he's got
years,
a kid to put through school.
Right.
The first bit that
and
I think...
And a rundown house to fix up.
I know.
There's
yeah.
your movie.
That is your
that
movie.
That's frustrating.
It's the money pit.
It's money pit, but with...
That would have been a better plot,
it
would have
been a better B story for him.
Yeah, to be doing while there's other stuff going on. Because when they move into that house, I turn to Katie and I go... They couldn't have waited to move until... What was the rush of getting out of New York? There was no immediacy. I mean, she wanted to...
And that apartment in New York could not have been cheap.
Heck no.
So
yeah, they got money. Like, I just... To me, it was frustrating that they moved into a house getting work done. Because I'm like, they wouldn't have needed to do that.
Why
they're
are
not
you rushing?
Like financially, it's not like these people are like, oh, we had to sell it because we have no money or whatever. Like,
that's a good B plot, too.
Yeah.
Is we had to sell it because we had no money.
Yeah, there's just something about this movie that feels... For a two-hour-long movie... it feels like they stretched the plot where I think they could have gone into some more interesting.
I don't even think that the idea of her getting the wand and accidentally wishing herself to be the villain of the story is
totally
insanely great.
Yeah.
But
no, it's an interesting concept, but
that doesn't happen until like the last 40 minutes. Like the turn kind of happens, and
probably happens more close to halfway.
You think so?
But to me, it's like that's an interesting concept, but all the stuff around it to me didn't grab me. It was like, okay, run with that idea, and if there was better writing and better songs, because right. The great thing about the first one, you've got Alan Menken mm-hmm. doing the music, who is obviously phenomenal, and those songs are really good, and they're really funny,
right,
and really heartfelt. Like, all those songs are really good in the first one. Every time they busted into song and they were trying to recreate the magic from the first, when the villagers are all doing their thing,
yeah,
it, which looked a lot like Beauty and the Beast. I wonder
if that was like a Beauty and the Beast set.
Yeah,
that
funny.
They repurposed.
But like talking about the Easter eggs and stuff, that was a big one. I'm like, that looks just like the Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
So, but when they burst into song, that's like that. How do you know? Like when New York City and all the construction workers are bursting. Yeah. Song, they were trying to get another big number with villagers and recreate it. And it just didn't work. The song wasn't as good. That it wasn't as funny.
Well, because what was funny was them making real world people fall right. into these musical numbers
yeah, right,
where
right.
this just
this
looked
is
like
the
a
fairy
musical
tale.
Number. Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily a good one. I'm not saying they did a bad job, but it just didn't.
It was meh.
You did, yeah, it didn't wow you.
Meh, Enchanted.
The choreography wasn't that great. You know, the people weren't exactly in sync as much as you would hope. Like when you watch West Side Story, or even In the Heights recently, and you look at that choreography
yeah.
and how perfect,
they've got
close
that down,
to perfect,
like, yep.
and the camera work, you know, which obviously you're talking about some amazing filmmakers, but when you watch that choreography, and then you look at this, it looked flat, and it just wasn't as interesting, and the songs weren't as good. Like, I could not tell you. I watched this yesterday. I could not tell you one song except for Love Power. They played
that
three times, son. But that's the Idina Menzel, and then they play over the credits when she's talking about Love Power. And like, I just know it because I remember watching and being like, I get it, Love Power. Like,
right.
It's not that interesting of a song, but that's their big one. And I don't even. It's not that good.
You know, it's funny. I remember we kind of had this discussion about Frozen 2. Mm-hmm. And how like Into the Unknown was gonna? They were like, I mean, they want that to be their big song. And
man,
I gotta tell you,
grown on me.
I was just thinking that.
I saw Frozen 2, and I'm like, it's just not as good.
It's
as the
not
first
as good.
One. Those songs, and I'll tell you what, every time I hear them or when we rewatch them, I'm like, it's a good movie. These songs are good.
it's so interesting how that like.
I think it just had. It was in the shadow of the first, which was amazing.
Yeah,
and it's hard to live up to that. But then sometimes you hear things a few times and you go like, okay, now that I've put aside my, this isn't the first one, and you're just watching for what it is,
yeah.
You're like, oh,
like
good.
Grease 2.
Not like Grease 2. Also covered on the show.
Yep. A lot of Grease 2 fans out there. A lot
of
our listeners. Are. And Katie's one of them.
She's really?
Saw it at the right age.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
And again, it's a movie that played on like Cinemax all the time.
Or Channel, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. But one of the,
need a cool
one of the,
rider.
Oh, it's, all right. One of the things that I thought was really funny is she has this power, quote unquote power, to attract the animal life
around her.
Of course,
it's a princess,
her.
Disney princess.
Of course. And I love that it's pigeons and rats and cockroaches, which I was like, solid.
It's a joke from
that's
the first
really
one. She brings back all the random creatures.
So anyway, they decide to move out of the city and they move into this Monroeville, which I got to tell you, also normally full of zombies. If you know anything about George Romero, Monroeville Mall is where the Dawn of the Dead takes place.
Did Kevin Smith also?
The Monroeville Zombies are the hockey team
yeah.
in that's good. Zach and Mary. Yeah. I had one of those shirts for a long time.
Did you?
Yeah. So they move and it's initially, the way I thought this was going is that they were moving into all of our main characters who are real people. We're just going to take on the characteristics of Disney villains, right? Or fairy tale villains. Yeah. So Maya Rudolph is playing the evil queen, and she's got her two like minions who are there.
What's clever, because they fall right into it. When it becomes a fairy tale, the real people are already doing the traits of a
right.
the tropes of like a
the
of,
tropes
yeah.
Of a, you know, like the I don't know. She's not the mayor, but the head of the town. It's called. Her name is Monroe.
I think
it's Monroeville.
I think it's she's supposed to be.
She's basically like a mayor type or whatever, you know, in her lackeys. So they're. I think it was smart how there's those analogs of here's the real world equivalent of those things,
right.
And then now, of course, when this story becomes a fairy tale, they just slide right into place.
Right into place, which I was like, I was initially I thought that it was the same story, but we weren't going to get the fairy tale aspect. Mm-hmm. It was just going to be these real world,
real world that has fairy tale elements
that you can pick up on. Like, okay, I know who that's supposed to be. I know
exactly.
That's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, and it's not going well. The daughter does not want to be there. and just when you think things are going to be okay, like the daughter's clothes get set on fire, so she has no clothes to wear.
And instead of going out that day and buying her new daughter new clothes,
the same thing.
She's out doing bake sale or talking to the mayor and doing all this. And it's like, you had the whole day to get her some clothes.
Yeah, just get her some jeans and a t-shirt, something. Yeah. You got enough money. You sold that giant ass townhouse in Manhattan. So she ends up, the daughter ends up having to wear, of course, one of Amy Adams' dresses, which is just very bright and flowery, and this is not the daughter's vibe at all.
I think this is just such a played out trope of the clueless parent dropping the kid off at school and saying I love, which her version of that is like singing, which would be embarrassing, but
I think that's what makes it better, is she does like sing it.
I mean, it has its own twist on it, but how many times have we seen the parent embarrassing their kid, like, you know what I mean? It just kind of was
into,
like,
the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, well, and yeah, that was pretty, that was just a funny,
say it,
funny.
Say it. So she goes, and of course the prince of this town is the, who is a, it's funny, my daughter watched, you know, on Disney Plus, they had a bunch of those kid shows, and apparently there's one where these kids run a toy store. I don't know what it is, but this kid is from that.
Okay.
But he's much bigger now. He was like a little kid on that show. He's much bigger now.
But the prince of the real world prince is the son of
Maya Rudolph's
character. Yeah.
So, yeah, and the daughter's not having a good time. Things aren't really... Patrick Dempsey's trying to put on a brave face, but he's not the happiest about having to take a train into the city every day. So things aren't going well. And then all of it, here comes the prince, or the, I guess the king and queen of not Arendelle. and they kind of...
James Marsden and Idina Menzel's character.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Was she in the first one?
Yeah. Oh, okay. She was engaged to Patrick Dempsey, and then they switched. The prince that was chasing Giselle went, James Marsden went with Idina Menzel,
and then
Dempsey with Amy Adams.
Got it. So they come and it's basically like, look, are you poor? Like, what is going on with this place? And it's like,
I love James Marsden. I mean, he's been in the last two Sonic movies.
Yeah,
right. He's the main guy, the opposite Sonic. This movie, like, I really like James Marsden.
He loses his girlfriend to Superman.
Yeah, well, he's a host in Westworld. Rest in peace, Westworld. But like, in these kids' movies that he does, he really does go all in.
He does.
And you got to give him credit, and he's good at it. He was funny in this movie. I thought, I just, the writing between him and Dempsey and trying to give him a sword and all this. Like,
take it. And I was like, you're just going to give him the sword and not like the holster?
I know. And then he goes in the house to put the holster down. I'm like, yeah, you should have that on.
Give that to Sheath. Thank you.
That door, the holster. World. Well, yeah. Joe's world.
Yeah, it's a holster.
Hand me my long sword. It's from his favorite movie, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's the best movie ever. They end up giving her this wand, and the only way you can use this wand...
They give the daughter as a gift.
Is it the daughter?
They give the daughter, the little baby, her present for, you know, to celebrate her birth.
To be a baby?
Congratulations, you're a baby.
Here's this ridiculously powerful magical tool.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. It's a wishing wand. And you have to be a true person of this animated, whatever the kingdom is. You have to be from the kingdom.
You have to be a true child of Andalasia.
Andalasia?
God,
is that
dang, the... well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Andalasia. You have to be like from there to be able to use the wand. So if you're not from there, you can't use it. So what happens is things go real bad. And it's just, and I wouldn't even say real bad. It's just real life stuff that Amy Adams apparently is not able to cope with.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, yeah, your 16-year-old daughter is going to be mean. Like, it's just what it is. And maybe this house isn't ready yet.
It's the typical, you moved her from her friends in her school to this new place. Then you're embarrassing her in front of all the new kids. And
your husband isn't totally happy, but he's just put on a brave face for you.
So I mean, that's the thing. I mean, again, this gets in some real depressing territory, which, again, I get that it's more realistic. But I'm like, sheesh. Like, she's like, when was the last time you were happy? And he couldn't even answer it. And he's like, I'm not unhappy. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah. You guys it's are also like, you know, you got a baby right there. Like,
right.
Come
right,
on, man.
When's the last time you were happy? Right. Our daughter was born a 6 months ago. Remember
right,
that?
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, no, that's why I'm saying like they are on the verge of it looks like their marriage is not going well. They're not happy. They're neither of them are.
It's tough. I don't disagree. Yeah. But it is. So she ends up making a wish that she wishes that she had a fairy tale life. And then all of the things, you know, she wakes up and it's basically Beauty and the Beast. Like that's that world, right? Where everybody, I do like the hand movement, like the, yeah. Where they're like, when they react to things, I was like, that's very,
this part was hilarious. This is where the movie took a shift. See, I think the beginning was drawn out and it was depressing. And I was like, oh man, this is a bummer with the happy ending in the great first movie. Then when her toaster started singing to her and then the daughter comes out and is singing and she's supposed to be, she's kind of like Cinderella.
Yeah.
That's where we first got the clue that it's like, oh, you're going to be the stepmother because
right.
She calls her stepmother and then she's dressed like Cinderella and she's like, I'm going to go do the chores, but with a happy face and she's singing about it. And then
I think she ends up saying like, I'll see you later, stepmother.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh no, yeah. I know what's going
to
happen.
But it was funny. The toasters are singing to her and the blender or whatever. Like it turns into a fairy tale opening. And,
yeah.
And then that's when you get the villagers and they do the big
production
with all
thing,
that.
Yeah. So the twist is while Amy Adams is at like the market, the clock rings one or what, you know, noon or something. And there is a character shift where all of a sudden, like her eyes kind of turn golden.
She's talking to Maya Rudolph and she says something really rude that Giselle normally wouldn't say. She says what she's thinking,
right.
Which is like,
well, I think she says what a wicked stepmother would say. And it's like, it's right. This weird, it's a tough thing to do. It's this condescending like tone and like verbiage, but you're not like, if somebody's saying
sarcasm.
That to you, it's sarcasm.
Yeah.
It's snarkasm.
Right.
If somebody were to say it to you, you're like, are you
right.
taking shots at
if
me
you,
right now?
If you,
like,
if you just read it without tone, it could go either way.
Right. So this then now we realize what's happening, and they find out that they have until midnight to reverse the curse. Otherwise, it stays like this forever. So Amy Adams is doing this. I think it's fantastic. Like the flip back and forth in mid scene.
Yeah.
Of Wicked
sometimes
Stepmother.
Sometimes mid sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way
it started going back behind her. I was
that was
just
a little
like,
silly. But
yeah. I don't know. It was a little goofy to me with the going back and back and back. I was like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. But I did like that. You know, she'd be having a conversation and then it would
snapping back and forth. Yeah. Yeah. And I liked her as evil. I'm like, that's fun. We got to see Amy Adams get to have more fun with like do something different with
yeah.
the character, play an evil version of this innocent, lovable, because it's such the opposite of Giselle from the first
right.
one.
Right. Right.
You would never think that she would have that in her to be evil. So I did enjoy getting to see her do that, but it was kind of weird having two evil queens too, I think, or like evil queen and, you know what I mean?
The character's
same. You don't usually have two in a movie. So
yeah.
I thought that may be kind of like, even though it was...
I think you had to turn Maya Rudolph. At least until everything
yeah,
flipped back.
Yeah, make her the good guy because like Amy Adams is so evil or
right.
something. There was just something missing from that dynamic because it was just like, okay, there's two evil queens, which is a plot point. But it also, to me, played a little messy with... I wish there was something more...
Yeah, like Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13.
Exactly.
Ding,
yeah.
ding, ding.
That's what we were all thinking.
Can't
sure
have two heels.
Can't, yeah. It's a,
well, how do you walk without
on your,
two
on,
heels?
On your tippy-toes. Yeah, the tippy-toes.
Yeah.
I'm not walking on my balls.
Yeah, you might at some point.
I weigh too much.
Just wait.
Yeah, no. Just wait. So things are going bad. And finally... Giselle realizes that she has to, the only way to stop this is to get the daughter, the stepdaughter into, unobtainium, whatever it's called. So she pushes her down the well and I was like, well, that's very evil stepmother-y, but
yeah.
She was the good version at that point. I was like, oh dang. And she goes in and we find out that because of this wish, all of the magic from this town, is being sucked out and brought into the real world, and it's destroying this world. And I did appreciate that, like the kind of throwbacky Disney animation. It's not the best.
Oh, it's real rough sometimes.
Yeah.
They farmed it out to thing in Canada. It's not.
Oh, is that right?
Disney actually doing it. It's another.
Oh,
it's an animation company out of Canada.
There are moments that look like I would even say
it's more like the Funimation knockoffs of
yeah.
Because I do think the animation is really strong, like all the way up until the frog, the Princess and the Frog. Like that, I think that animation is really strong.
Yeah.
And then it kind of does take a weird dip, but then they go to...
Yeah, but this one, there were times where it was real herky-jerky and the face movements, like it was just weird. Like,
yeah.
It rushed. Like, they did not get to fine-tune it.
No, the animation in The Enchanted is pretty great as well.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the animation. I mean, this looked rushed to me, or lower budgeted.
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe they had to get it out in time with COVID, and they just didn't have time to fine-tune
it. It is interesting when you keep saying that, but these are coming out
over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so they had to film during COVID.
Yeah.
Right. So we find out that there's this tree of memories. Like, that's the thing that I guess was keeping Unobtainium alive.
That's in the beginning of the movie, Giselle says to the stepdaughter, she hangs it up, and she's like, you know, we can't get rid of this. This is your tree of memories, and it's a custom from, I just said it, I can't, and what is it called?
Andalasia?
Oh.
That's what I...
We'll go with that.
Sure.
So it's one of their customs where
plantar fasciitis.
They make these trees and for all their memories, and so it's something that she's like, we can't get rid of this, and so it becomes a plot point later where she uses the magic from the memory tree.
That's really what it comes down to, is they start to reignite the memories, which starts to like reignite the magic in this place. So they take they have the plan, right? The plan is they're going to take it back, they're going to show Giselle all of these memories, and it's going to fix the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, we go back to the ball, and which I assume was like, you know, the Monroeville Festival.
Yeah.
That now has become like this.
Right. It's
thing.
A festival, but in fairy tale world, it's a ball.
It's a ball. Right. Yeah. And there's the big showdown. And we should say that the chipmunk from the first one comes back, which I think is a very funny thing with the chipmunk, where it becomes a cat because cats are evil.
And the cat looks like Lucifer.
It does a little bit. Yeah.
You know, big puffy cat from those.
But I do think
cartoons.
That was a very funny, like. The squirrel's like, what's happening? Oh, no, I'm becoming an evil cat.
Evil queen always has. They don't have chipmunk. They have a cat.
When it's got its leg up in the air. Like, I don't know why I feel the urge to lick myself or lick this, but I'm going to. Actually,
and they give him like a Bronx accent when he's, because usually he squeaks. He's like chipmunk voice. But in the fairy tale world, I guess he can talk and has this Bronx accent. So when the Monroeville becomes a fairy tale, he gets that power to actually speak English instead of the chipmunk speaking
Right.
And so it's kind of funny.
Fun.
Yeah.
So the big showdown happens, and the witches are, I guess, the evil queens are fighting each other.
And they're doing it looks just at Harry
it's
Potter versus Voldemort.
Yeah.
You know, it's the two colors going at each other.
Right.
Pointing wands at each other.
Sure. And then, so the daughter shows up.
With the tree.
Her own tree. The daughter's tree.
Yeah.
And of course, Giselle's like, let me look at that. And you think she's going to turn back to, and she doesn't. She tears it in half. And I was like, oh, that's pretty intense.
Rips it up and throws it in the air.
And then because she throws
the magic
surrounds
her.
Anyway,
the memories start playing.
And they realize they've run out of time.
Oh, and it gets down to, so when the clock strikes 12, it freezes, like Joe said. It chimes 11 times, and then McDreamy is up there with his sword, and he sticks it into the gears.
McDreamy and the prince
stop it.
He did Hudsucker proxy it. That's exactly right.
And then Maya Rudolph, because, you know, it's like,
why didn't that?
It's a very long time to get to 12, but they, you know, he stops the gears. It's like, yeah, hold on. She remembers, like, where's that 12th chime?
Also, that's not how time works.
Right.
Right. It's weird. Like, the clock
isn't time itself. Right. It's an arbitrary representation of time.
But in fairy tale world, I guess it
most
has
of the clocks
chime.
In my house aren't right anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I imagine your house looks like Doc Brown's house with all the clocks lined up.
Brother. There's a lot of alarms. yeah. Right. Unobtainium is what in my house.
Well, how would you get it?
It's exactly
right. It's unobtainable.
That's right. Stupid avatar.
That's why it's so rare.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Well, I can't wait for that.
Talk about 15 years. Avatar came out just barely after this movie. You know, 2009, I think. So,
is that right?
I mean, they're pretty close, yeah.
So dumb. So dumb. So
it's not tracking to break records right now. So we may, you know, maybe wrong. Estimates aren't always right, but it is not on track where, like, Avatar was the biggest movie in the world at the time.
This sure.
is not on track to deceit anything. So we'll see. Oh,
it's good. Well, never mind.
I've always said there's no deep love for that movie.
There's none.
Like, there's
it
no
was a spectacle,
right time, right place,
and that's what it was. It's not
saying it won't make money, because it is going to make.
It's going to make money,
and it's going to be popular. But yeah, we've always said it's like it was the most amazing 3D when 3D was a thing.
It was the only, in my opinion, the only one that got it right. It's very rare for those 3D movies to work.
It's rare. I think that if you really thought back, there were some that were pretty cool, especially animated stuff that was made in CG so they could perfect the 3D. I'm not saying I ever really loved
it. The Jim Carrey Christmas Carol one was pretty great.
It was dark, but it was good.
It was too dark, but yeah.
Because it was all lit by candlelight. Right. They simulated it. But there were ones that were really good, you know, that were made in 3D, not the conversions ones. There was even one, I can't remember, but it was converted. And it was good, and we found out it was post-conversion. I'm like, well, that was one of the best 3Ds ever, so I don't know how they did that. But
not Clash of the Titans.
Well, that was one of the worst, and that was post-Clash
or Wrath? Doesn't matter.
Clash, because it was Clash's first, and then Clash made a bunch of money because it came out like
on the tails of
a month after Avatar. Yeah. People were like, I want more 3D. Yeah. And it was like, oh, and then they got tricked into making a second one because they thought it was people loved it. Yeah.
Right. There's no love for that movie.
No.
So the fight happens, but they don't make it, right? So all of the magic starts to disappear. So everybody who was from blah, blah, blah.
They're Marty McFly in it.
They're disappearing. You're absolutely right. They are flying it.
They twinkle in there.
Yeah, right. So they all start disappearing. All of a sudden, the daughter realizes that she, because somehow this is the way DNA works, because Giselle says, you're a daughter of blah, 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 too.
It's like, this is dumb. You're my stepdaughter, but you're really my daughter doing that. But it's like, but she's not a daughter of Anna.
Right. She's
like,
not.
I get that she's your real child. I mean, my son's a stepson.
Yeah, we're blended families.
Yes, and of course they're really your family and all that. But for rules of magic and being a true, it's not like, yes, she is her daughter in a family sense, but how is she a true daughter? Vandalasia.
She's never even been there other than just now.
But yeah, it's a weird rule to.
Right. Yeah. So she wishes to have
the movie itself never even animated her.
No, she goes in the well. Oh, yeah, okay. She's the one that goes in the well and they animate her.
But they're doing it.
I get what they're trying to do with the family, and you know she's really her mom.
I don't like when she calls her mom, like, because she's not her mom. You had a mom who did a good job. She just happened to die.
Right.
Like, that's kind of, and I know some people get to that point, but I don't think most do. And I think it's kind of,
especially that fast.
What's that?
Especially that fast. I feel like 10 years, I mean, I guess 10 years isn't that long.
Yeah,
it is
that's
a long time. But
still, like, she, it's not like the mom died in childbirth.
Right.
Or,
right,
like,
right.
She, you know, like, I don't know. It just seems.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having two moms, though. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with calling your stepmom, like, or if a stepchild called you dad, like, as opposed to Ron. You know, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that part.
Did you have a Ron in your life at one
point? No, but I just mean, you know how you always see in movies, especially when it's like, you're not dad, you're, all right, Phil. You know, there's no closeness, but like, I think that's okay.
Those might be,
I mean, it's certainly okay if that's a choice somebody wants to make. I just don't think that, one, it's all that common of a choice.
Yeah.
And it seems almost judgmental for the kids that don't do that. Right.
I could see that.
You know,
that's true.
Those two names were like the most stepdad names
I've ever heard.
Ron and Phil.
Ron, for some reason, doesn't Ron seem
Ron
like
sounds like a stepdad?
Absolutely.
I don't know why,
does.
But
no,
it's just.
I'm with you.
But I just felt like when she calls her mom, and that's supposed to be our big tearing up moment, and I'm just like, but that means she's kind of overriding the memory of her actual mother,
who she actually spent time with,
whose only crime is dying. Right?
Yeah,
right.
I see that, but to me, I don't think one replaces the other. I just think it does show closeness. Because if you're that close to your stepmom to call her mom, then it just shows that you've accepted her as a parent and not just a step-parent, which in this movie, again, is like, when she calls her stepmom, that's a dig, right?
Because
it's like, she's your mom now. Like you're,
right.
But, you know what I mean? Not a replacement mom, but like, you were that close, and now you're just stepmom, and that's a...
I think that's the dig, right? That's why when she calls her stepmom, you're like,
right.
Ooh.
So they, but I get by the rules. It's like, well, that does that saying that now if you have a stepmom, that's not as good as the mom, because now that's a dig as opposed.
Right.
Like, I get it. They're playing in a weird territory with these things. But either way, saying that you're a real child of
Andy, and now you can use the wand.
I just don't.
What I think would have been funnier or better.
Is if the baby did
if
something.
If the baby did it.
Why? The wand was for the baby. And I get that they said a true child of Andalasia can use it, and that's why Giselle does. But yes, why did they not
and
give
if,
the
especially
baby?
Especially if we're in this animated fairy tale world.
Right. Yeah.
If
why did they give the baby nothing to do? I get they're a baby, but like if they're not going to use it for any,
there could have been all kinds of stuff. You can
funny plot twists and cartoonish things. I just thought that was a really
weird. A plot device to get the wand,
right?
Yeah. And so like come up with a different plot device,
or even use it, but make the baby do something.
Yeah. The baby should have saved them somehow. I really did think that's where they were going. Yeah, where it's like
but babies are useless. They are the worst.
I think they're kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. But she says, I just want my, but the line is, instead of like, I want things to go back to normal, she says, I want my mom back.
Yeah.
And that just resets the whole damn thing. Also, this is WandaVision. Like, it's the same premise as WandaVision.
I was thinking it was very similar to when they said, we're going to this town.
Right.
And then it's going to be all, something weird's going to be going on.
I was
of
like,
course,
well,
jumped to WandaVision.
Same company, same, all right, right on.
And now Giselle's taken over and turned
right,
things evil.
And she's kind of bad.
She's changed all their lives.
That's exactly
to,
right.
Yeah.
All of these people have, were now, well, prisoner. They put,
right.
They put poor.
They all have to sing and dance. And
they put poor Oscar in a freaking mirror.
Did, yeah.
Like, come on.
It was Giselle all along.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, she sets everything back and everything, you know, only, apparently only Giselle and the daughter remember what happened.
Something about people that use
the people that make the wish remember it, and the people that are put under the spell of the wish only kind of remember it.
I think
it's like
a bad dream.
It's like a half dream.
Okay,
that was funny when McDreamy is like, "I had the weirdest dream."
We should say that he was like the hero, so he's fighting a dragon.
Well,
and then
because he's her prince. Like
it
was the funny part in the first one was he was just a guy, but he was like the equivalent of course, Giselle's looking for a prince, and,
right.
And you know, so he was that. So then he gets the chance to actually become the prince,
right?
Which the most of the comedy was James Marsden, the first one being a real Disney prince coming to life
in the real world. Yeah.
And so Marsden must have been filming Sonic 2 or something. Like they perfectly were like, oh, he stayed back to do the whatever.
Yeah,
he goes,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
code I mean, for didn't film their
yeah name. Like I mean they did that with almost everybody. I mean even Patrick Dempsey isn't in the
true
movie.
He's barely
much
in it. Yeah.
They filmed their scenes and
yeah
then,
it's yeah like we need you for a week.
Yeah,
but I wonder if that's to your point, that's COVID, right? Like we can film
some
Patrick Dempsey by himself and keep him isolated.
Oh,
we
that's
can,
true.
We can
smaller
film,
sets.
We can film Amy Adams by herself. And,
I'm also
you know
thinking Marsden's really busy. I mean, he had Westworld. He had the Sonic movies. Like, you know, he had become an in-demand actor at that point.
Sure.
He's always, you know, he's been a good working actor. But, like, you know, he's gotten some of his pretty big projects. And so it was just interesting to see them sideline characters, you know, show up and, kind of,
and then disappear. Yeah. So, yeah, everything kind of goes back to normal. Amy Adams goes back to Maya and Rudolph and just like, hey, you know, sometimes I get a little overzealous and I'm really sorry. And of course, Maya Rudolph apologizes and says, sometimes I can do the same thing. So everything kind of goes back to normal. And that's kind of how this thing ends.
Yeah.
Is they get a second bite at Happily Ever After. And that's
it. I don't think we need any more of these movies.
No,
which is sad because I love that first one so much.
But I do kind of agree with the statement that's like, if you're going to do a sequel to something, do it. But like
when you have
two
a high
to three
concept
years
idea like that, it's hard to go back to that wishing well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Well
thank
done
you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's hard to get a second bite at that poison.
Yeah. Oh, it was definitely poison. Like,
yeah.
And I do think it could have been really good.
Yeah. And that's frustrating is like there are elements in here that had they been fleshed out properly could have been as good.
Like the writing just wasn't as good, right? The first one, good concept, and the writing was funny, and it all landed.
I'd say it felt rushed, but we're 15 years out. Oh, now it's not really rushed.
Well, and when maybe from the time they got this idea to, we can get everyone back for a sequel.
Yeah.
But in this one, the writing, it's just the jokes weren't funny. It wasn't as quaint because, again, so far removed, it's hard to believe that the fish out of water just doesn't play that far out
at all. Yeah.
But I think it was cool to see Amy Adams having fun with it. Maya Rudolph's always good. So there were enjoyable things.
Sure.
It was entertaining, but I don't think I would ever want to watch this one.
It was more of a little kid's movie than
the
first one.
The 6-year-old dug it.
Yeah.
A lot. The 11-year-old, not so much.
Yeah.
But it's a musical, and what were the songs?
Yeah.
Tell me one. But aside from Love Power, and maybe because I just repeated it, but like, what were the songs in this musical?
You can repeat it all. I have no idea.
I just remember they rhymed the word batter with bladder. That's
because I could tell they were going for the rhyme before it happened. I'm like, I'm going to say batter.
Yeah.
Like, but like, that's like in that first one, that how do you know that he loves me in the city? Like, that's such a memorable moment from that first one.
Sure
I
mean it's on Disney Plus, so that like I said they've
got, you've got it right.
Right,
everyone's got Disney Plus, so it's not gonna cost
it. So I think it's interesting to see their model where it's like, yeah, we're going to do our own, you know, original Disney Plus stuff. Yeah. But we've got thousands, hundreds of years of content that we can spin off of.
Yeah.
I heard there's a new good documentary. Have you watched the Mickey Mouse documentary?
I just saw it pop up.
Okay. Yeah. I want to check that out. I heard it's good. So speaking of 100 years. I mean,
no joke.
Yeah. It's getting real close.
Real close.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Little Red's grandmother is killed by the giantess.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.